Well, I love coming to this part of the online service when it says that the pastor's thoughts and prayers, and we also think about people that we need to lift up to pray for. But more importantly, it's knowing that God loved us so much, and sometimes we don't understand exactly how to pray or what to pray for, and the Holy Spirit will always give us the utterance and the ability to pray for people even when we don't know what we're praying for. It's called a prayer language, and I use it all the time because sometimes I don't know exactly what's going on in people's lives. So I pray a prayer of intercession in my prayer language, and that's good. I think it's real good that that you know that your pastor is praying for you, even though we might not be seeing each other. And also prayer of intercession when with my wife suffering with, I say suffering, and she is, but the lymphoma that she's been diagnosed with. The prognosis is good, and we're grateful for that. Her Dr. Morris at the Cancer Center has given her a little hope of light that this thing can be healed, and we're hanging on to that because we know that God is also in the healing business. So when I was thinking today about the church and about how I'm not able to be with some of you in person, but we're grateful for modern technology that you listen here. But you know, we were doing a Bible study before the COVID thing hit, which was in the book of Proverbs. A lot of did you know that God is wisdom? And that is wisdom that is in Proverbs. It is the wisdom of God. But we were studying the Bible and we were having a good time, and then whoop, we came and we can't do it anymore. But things that are opening up, and we're so excited about that. We're back in church. Doing in-person, what they call in-person worship, and that's a good thing. And it appears like that we might even be able to have a sunrise service. So we're hoping and praying we can do that. And spring has sprung. New life is out there. It just feels so good. But I said all that to say this. Since we're not able to come together and study the Bible, I wanted to share with you some ways that might help you, because studying the Bible is where God's Word comes to life in our heart. When Jesus said he had to go to be with the Father, he would send one greater than him, and that is the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the comforter. So we have Jesus, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, with us every time we pick up the Bible and study it. You just simply say, Holy Spirit, teach me what I need to know from these particular scriptures. And let me tell you, he is faithful to do just that. But I want to give you like an overview of how to study the Bible, a strategy that maybe is compromised in just a couple steps, like observation, interpretation, and application. You know, in that order, we have to put our faith to work. James says that faith without works is dead, and what he means by that, we have to work our faith. So here's the first one, observation. What does the scripture say? What is the context of what we're studying? What are we reading? Collect many facts as possible about the context of this scripture. Don't take anything for granted. Ask questions like who, what, where, when, how, and what logic indicators can be marked in words such as therefore, then, and also, but, you always got buts in there, however, or nevertheless. What reoccurring words indicate a main idea? If the Bible is used in a lot of words, same words and elements and arguments and illustration, it's something that we need to pay attention to. And then you get to the interpretation part. What does this text mean? Only then do we ask, what does the author or the whoever's written these words, we all know that they're penned by the Holy Spirit, but they used humans to get it into writing, to get it to us, like all the disciples and the prophets and all that. How do they relate the scripture and how that we can follow it? What's the intent? Observe the context. A word is best understood in the way the author used it. That's why we got so many different translations, because the scriptures come alive with the pulse and the throb of the author's own heart. And I also like to personalize the scripture, put my name in there when they're talking about an individual. But over the years, with the word being translated in so many ways, it's easy, but it's also hard to study the scripture. But then we need to apply what we're studying. What does it mean? What does the text mean to my life? You know, it is a personal love letter to us that God gave us to us. So what is the mean? And so there, sometimes I'll just insert my name in there, and it better helps me understand. And then only after discovering the meaning of the text in its own time and place, what should we ask as a student of God's Word? I think the most important that we should ask is, what does this mean to me? After all, it is a personal relationship with God. So what does this mean to me? And then distinguish between cultural facts and timeless principles. Focus on the main idea. And what are the primary issues of the heart? And what does this say about our relationship with God as we answer these questions, these three things? The Bible will explode with significance as you read it and read it in a different understanding. So just thought I would share those couple little tidbits with you today. I know that a lot of you are reading and studying your Bible, and just thought I'd give you a couple little tips that maybe helped me in a lot of different ways. So we have a lot of people on our prayer list, and of course I also want to continue to ask, pray for my wife as she continuing with her treatments for the lymphoma cancer. There's so many people sending cards and lifting her up. We really, really do appreciate it. But we also have a lot of people in our own congregation and family and friends that also need a prayer of hope and grace and healing. That's what we call intercessory prayer. Lord's Prayer. It's a special prayer. It's a prayer that should be used as a model for all of your prayers to line up with. Sometimes we just forget how to do our own prayers. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, which we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, it's a prayer that you can use as a model for your own prayers to line up with. So we pray that prayer today as an in closing. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's the old serpent. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hope and pray that you're having a good day, and hope to see you in church sometime soon. Some of our folks are starting to come back, and we thank you for that. But it is safer to come to church than it is to go out into the big box stores. Why do you say that? Well, we have fewer people, and we use and follow the same guidelines. But more importantly, the Lord, the one that loves you, and we are commanded to come together and worship together. So I hope and pray that you feel that you can do that. We love you, and if you want to listen to entire service, we love getting these together. Phil and I just enjoy it, and hope and pray you're having a good day. God bless.